Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and today I am joined by Senior Pastor of Christ Fellowship, Bruce Miller, and a special guest. Lori Wright has been with us on the podcast before. She is our Executive Pastor of Vision, and she's here to talk with Bruce about our Vision Sunday coming up this week, where we'll hear about the church's focus for the next 12 months to bring the vision home. What does that mean? What is the vision, and how do we bring it home? These are the things we're going to talk about next. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. And we have added a bonus voice today.
Yay.
And I'm very excited about it. Yeah, Bruce is here. But also...
I thought that was for me. It's not.
Also, Lori Wright is here.
Welcome, hi. Lori.
Yay. Glad to be here.
Lori's
thank you.
Been on the podcast before. Lori is our Executive Pastor of Vision. Did I get that right?
That is correct.
Yes. So Lori is a really important part of our leadership team here at Christ Fellowship. And one of her passions, as well as her job, is our vision. So Lori, tell us, in case people don't know, what is our vision?
Oh, our vision is to reduce loneliness, anxiety, and addiction by having meaningful conversations where people experience Christ through us.
So where did this vision come from, Bruce?
It's really different than any vision we've had before. As founding senior pastor, of course, most of the visions came from me in the early days. But really, we've only had a couple of visions over the 26 years. This, though, did not come from me. It came from a diverse group of people who worked together over a series of months, seeking God, praying, working with a consultant we hired to help us. And really, we reflected on how God has moved in our midst, and we've experienced the reality of God in our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and how those have been just such powerful times these last years. And then we looked at the issues around us, and probably the word we heard the most from everybody, from a 7-year-old to a 70-year-old retired person, is overwhelmed, just overwhelmed. And then we dug a little deeper, and what's underneath that? And three issues emerged: loneliness, anxiety, and addiction. And these we identified before COVID.
Yeah.
And now since COVID, those have been exacerbated to be so much worse. And now you can just read article after article about how addictions and anxiety and loneliness have increased.
At all ages.
Tragically, at all ages. To very serious levels. Yeah. Devastating people's lives.
Yeah. So we're hoping to address those how?
By having meaningful conversations. I mean, obviously, having meaningful conversations centered around Jesus.
Right,
that
where
is
people experience
Jesus
Christ.
Yes, that is the answer.
We thought about what's kind of at the core. Yeah. We try to get real practical, real concrete, not too abstract, and say, if you're going to influence someone else to help them find and follow Jesus, mm-hmm. what do you have to do? Well, you have to be with them and talk to them. Like, you can't, just fundamentally, you can't influence somebody unless you have a conversation. And we said, well, and does the first conversation have to be about Jesus or every conversation be about the church? Well, no, but it's got to be about something that matters, not just chit-chat, small talk. Mm-hmm. So we said meaningful conversations. And our thought was, boy, if people could commit to have a meaningful conversation with the same person, even like once a month, and invest in someone else's life with the intent of seeing them grow in Christ, either come to know Christ for the first time or grow in Christ from wherever they are today, how beautiful would that be? And that might be somebody you live with. It might be a neighbor, a friend, might be somebody on the other side of the world. But somebody that you're going to have a meaningful conversation with to help them experience the life-changing power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and so that means by saying people are experiencing Christ through us, we're not Christ. So we can't
good
solve
point,
their,
Lisa.
Yeah. I mean, not that that should be obvious, but I don't know. Sometimes we can act like that. Like everything rests on our shoulders. We're just trying to share the love of Christ with them. We're trying to be who Jesus would want us to be for them by showing his compassion, his mercy, his love, his care, his wisdom, his truth, all the things that Jesus did when he was with us on earth, and then, you know,
yes,
by the Holy Spirit from beyond.
And simply put, you've seen the shirts, to help people be known and loved.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be known and loved and recognized. And that's really our tagline for our vision is to help people be known and loved.
Yeah. And what's interesting about our vision is it feels very like 21st century. Mm. I don't know that it would have made much sense 200 years ago for church to focus on this. But because they're like, well, of course I'm talking to people. But it's interesting nowadays, we spend so much time behind screens and there's so many things distracting us and we're so busy and our careers are busy. Our schools demand a lot of our kids. There's so many things going on in the world that keep us from just sitting around and talking. It's amazing.
We have forgotten historically that the invention of the automobile separated us because people used to walk along paths and have conversations when cities were walkable and you walked in the village to go get your fruits and vegetables or whatever. And also the invention of air conditioning, because now we're locked in our houses in our climate controlled homes and we drive into our garage and shut the automatic door and we don't come out.
Bruce, you're not saying in Texas in July that you're anti-air conditioning. I know you're not.
I'm not. I'm big fan.
Big fan.
Big fan of the air conditioning.
Pun intended.
Especially at night.
Yes. No, but I get what you're saying. I mean, we just live much more atomized lives where you used to, a lot of people, you know, 300 years ago, 500 years ago, would have been born and died on the same basic patch of ground.
Right.
They would have lived near their extended family. They would have worked the land with their family or done a trade near their family, you know. And so they had big extended family and communities and people knew one another and knew each other's lives. And now you can never meet your neighbor. You can live in a house for 25 years and not know your neighbors at all. So,
in fact, that's common.
That is common. Mm-hmm. It is common.
Big fences and they're, you know, keep us apart.
Yeah.
Drive in the garage and close the door.
Yeah. Or even with our coworkers, we work in our little cubicles and
put our headphones on and
yeah. And our students, I mean, I see them at school with everybody's got their AirPods in.
Right.
You know, and if they do communicate, it's via text message, which as we know is not a very complete form of communication. Okay. So we've had this vision for a while, though, right? This is, what, 4 years-ish? I know COVID kind of paused it, so the timing is always hard to calculate.
Yeah, it probably started 2020, I guess, the end, after COVID kind of.
I'd say we really unveiled it at the RISE conference in 2021.
Okay, so, you know, we're moving along a couple of years in now where it's been, you know, people know by now what we're talking about. But this year, we narrowed the focus just a bit. In sort of an annual focus that we're going to do for the church does a fiscal year from July to end of June. This ministry year, what are we focusing on, Lori?
We are focusing on bringing the vision home. So previous years, we focused on getting out and meeting our neighbors and talking to people and engaging in building relationships outside the home. Mm-hmm. We know that we realize some of the hardest relationships are those inside the home. And those are the people that know us best.
Yeah. Can't fake it.
No, you cannot put on a face and, you know, they know who you are. But families have been just so disconnected. You know, you talk about social media and the kids are distracted, parents are distracted. This is an opportunity for us to really focus on building stronger families. Families are broken. There's a lot of broken marriages, a lot of kids that are hurting. I can share a lot of statistics, you know, on the increase of anxiety, but really when it comes down to people in your home that are struggling with those things, it can be really hard.
Yeah, very hard. So by focusing on the home, though, are we only focusing on married people with kids?
No, absolutely. No, everybody needs.
I mean, I know we're not.
I know.
I'm pitching you a softball, Lori.
Thank you. No, we are focusing on, you know, it could be, reaching out to your neighbor. It could be a roommate. It could be a grandparent. Mm-hmm. Who can you pour into? Who can you listen to? Who can you build a stronger relationship with? To impact the world for Christ, it's small. It's one conversation at a time. It's investing in people a little at a time. It's listening to them. It's really meaningful conversations with the people in your home. And it's being, as Bruce has said, being intentional about it, not just hoping that'll happen, but really making a plan to make it happen, whether it's over the dinner table or drive time or just making the most. Turn off the TV, turn off the radio, or whatever
the podcast,
the device,
the,
whatever device.
No, but not
you're
this
using.
Podcast.
Yeah,
this
not
podcast.
This, is no, really no, important. This podcast yet. But just to be more intentional about having those conversations and building stronger relationships with people in their home.
Now, Bruce, share a little bit what you discovered. You know, every year, Bruce, when he goes away for his vacation / study break in the month of June, he asks people to send a prayer request that he personally prays for during his time away. And I think that's really helpful because it gives you kind of a nice snapshot of where people are at. What are people struggling with? And which is a pastor in of a big church, sometimes it's hard to get your arms around. But what did you discover this year?
Yes, I read and prayed for hundreds of prayer requests. I was surprised that there wasn't that much loneliness mentioned, but there was so much anxiety, so much addiction of various kinds. And then I was so sad about the number of marriage prayer requests and divorce. And the saddest that grabbed my heart were students, teenagers, kids saying, would you please pray? My dad betrayed my mom, or my parents are getting divorced. I don't know what to do. And I just grieve for those kids. And then the number of parents asking for a prayer request for their kids, just desperate, everywhere from my 2-year-olds out of control to my 42-year-olds out of control. It felt like it was just everywhere in between my grandkids. And the struggles, the difficulties, sometimes quite severe, of the things that our kids and grandkids are going through, and the difficulty of how in the world do I parent them well in the challenges that they face in our godless culture. And it's hard. So how do we then, as Lori said, where our focus is, let's bring the vision home. We've got loneliness, anxiety, and addiction in our homes, in our lives. And it you know, I think, at least from my own conversations with people, there are a number of married couples, maybe the majority, who are not having meaningful conversations with each other as husband and wife. You know, and parents and kids.
It is. It's really difficult now. I think the whole idea of gathering around the family table in the evenings, it's very difficult to accomplish. There's so much with sports and homework. And if you have kids in school, it's really difficult. As the older they get, the more difficult it gets. So we're just saying, hey, you need to make, like Lori said, you're going to have to make it a point. It's not just going to happen.
No.
You're not just going to be able to rely on the fact that, we live together, so of course we're talking. You are probably communicating, but you're communicating on what time do you need to pick up so-and-so, what time is soccer practice this week?
Would you please put that plate away?
Do you have all your soccer gear? Don't make me drive up there. Things like that. And it's not necessarily beneath the surface, how are you doing, what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your mind. And that's what we want to encourage people to do. Bruce, you're going to preach a sermon, and you're going to focus specifically on parenting. But I think some of the things that you cover here, in fact, quite a few of them, are really applicable to anyone you live with.
Really talking about how do we bring the vision home?
Yeah.
Practically speaking.
Yeah. And so you're going to talk about two passages. You call it E6, D6 parenting.
It's a little cutesy, but, it might be memorable.
It is memorable because you preached this, I don't know, probably 15 years ago or something, and I remember it because
it worked.
I had young kids back then, and I was very attuned to any help I might gather from other people on how
and
to parent
them. It just happens that there's a New Testament passage, Ephesians chapter 6, and an Old Testament passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6, that both help us and sort of just in the craziness of the way the verses work out, Numbers, it's actually Ephesians 6:4 and Deuteronomy 6:4 and 5
handy?
And 6.
Now, is there a Bible code embedded in that?
There
Bruce?
Is. There's a whole Bible code. It's about numerology. And you want the 6:4.
It's going to tell
the
us
E 6:4
when
and the D
6:4. Coming back. We're going to know. We're kidding. I'm sorry. I derailed you. Give us sort of the philosophy underneath this
Paul's
idea.
Paul's making a big contrast in Ephesians 4. He speaks specifically to fathers, but really applies to parents and really applies to your interaction with anybody you're living with. And if you're living alone in your home, it's the people you bring into your home that you can have
the
huge
people you're closest to.
Yeah. And so essentially, kind of updated in my in our language, is Paul says, don't irritate the people you live with, but invest in them. That's the big contrast. and invest in them for Christ. And yet, the truth is, we irritate the people we live with a lot. You could use some synonyms: annoy, aggravate, provoke to anger. All these would be similar words. Exacerbate.
Yeah, especially with kids, parents and kids, we can create very contentious relationships with our children unintentionally by not valuing what they have to say, by being overprotective, or the opposite problem, being absent. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that we can go awry. So that's what you're getting at with irritate, right?
And you know, provoke them to anger. I mean,
yeah.
And we do that in our marriages too, and with our extended family or roommates who might live with us.
I mean, sometimes it's literal, right? Sometimes we just pick at.
Oh yeah,
pick at each other. Yeah, you'd get a reaction.
You might be surprised that siblings do that.
No, not my three angel no. babies.
I've never seen it in your home.
Your two boys, no, never.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And family members really know how to get under your skin.
Yeah. They know all the hot buttons, don't they?
Kids learn your buttons as a mom or a dad so fast, so young.
Mm-hmm. And then you learn theirs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's creating a place of a home that's, you know, full of peace and love and where we're all centered around God. So that's the other part, the training and instruction part, right?
Right.
Okay, what about D6? That's Old Testament, Bruce. We don't care about that.
Oh, goodness. So Deuteronomy 6 is a famous passage you may not have heard of. It's called the Shema, which is the Hebrew for what's translated in English as the word hear. Yeah, sounds in Hebrew like Shema. And it is a summary of really the core doctrine of God. And so it's a passage that Jewish people have memorized and repeated. Some Jewish people, even today, repeat the Shema twice a day. Mm-hmm. So a core passage talking about the fact that the Lord our God is one, meaning both that he is singular and that he is unique. And based on that, we're to love him with all our hearts, souls, and minds. And then we're to teach our children and their children about the Lord. And Deuteronomy 6 gets very concrete, very specific in the way it lays out what we could do to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says, and I think this is the part that definitely applies to whoever you live with. It says, it's talking about the commands of the Lord. It says, impress them on your children. And then this part, though, could be for anyone. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So the idea is it's all the time. it's an everyday activity. I think sometimes we get hung up on having like a family devotional, which I'm all for. That's great. I think we should all strive to do that. But it's more than that. It's at the moment. And it's applying what you've learned in the scriptures to what you're seeing out there in the world. I used to do this a lot with my kids when we watched television. I'd go, oh, wow. Do you think that was like what that character just did? Do you think that was good? I mean, what do you think? I mean, depending on age dependent, obviously. Sure. And we would have great conversations that allowed me to bring in the word of God and the truths of God, not necessarily, you know, quoting a scripture verse, but just the ideas of God, the truth of God, the way we should treat people, the way we shouldn't treat people, what it means to love someone as yourself. You can bring that in just to everyday conversations. It doesn't have to be like a special moment that you block off.
No.
Although it can be, and that's good too.
Sure. I it's harder for me with having boys to do that. Mm-hmm. But what I found is walking or driving where we're not focused on each other.
It's great to trap them in the car.
We're not real talkative at home. So anyway, that's what I've found to be helpful. But I do think it's important to model, reading the Bible, filling yourself up, praying before, just, you know, prayer before meals, things that we can do to where they see it, where people in your home see what you're doing.
And that's a really good point, is kids are watching you constantly. You are modeling behaviors constantly. And I don't know if you've ever had one of your children come back at you with something that sounds like something that you would say, but it's the weirdest, creepiest thing, right? And you just look at them going, that sounds just like me, or that sounds just like your father, or your, you know, and you're like, oh wow, they really are paying attention.
Yes, they are.
So what else, Bruce? What else you got for us?
Word of the day, merism.
Oh, yes.
So
Fool us, Bruce.
Oh, please. Yeah. When he says, when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, he's not literally saying, how about when you're sitting and then alternatively when you're walking? He's meaning everything in between. Mm. So a merism means like from A to Z, from one end to the other. So he says, when you lie down and when you get up. And so the author is making just the point that Laura, you and Lisa were saying, that it's not just one special moment where you're teaching your kids the Bible, which is wise and good to try to have a time like that. Mm-hmm. It really is. He's meaning throughout your life, from the moment you get up to the moment you go to bed, anytime you're with the people in your home, you are influencing them.
Yeah.
And you are impacting them for good or ill. They're watching you, you're watching them. And whether you're playing or working or eating, whatever you're doing, we talked about the driving time. When you have little kids, bedtime can be a really powerful time. And meal times, I don't think that gets harder when they get older. But depending on the age kids you have as you're listening today, you can use these different ways. And as the kids get older, frankly, walks, like Lori said, and meal times still work with adult kids.
Yeah,
if you cook good.
That's right. Got to be a good cook.
You got to draw them to the table. Yeah, and so I think this, like I said, this applies to other people in our lives as well, because we are always trying to be Christ-like, right? That's our goal, right? We're hoping that the Holy Spirit will continually be transforming us closer and closer to the image of Christ. It's especially as parents, it's what we're called to.
And I think it, and I know you agree, Lisa, it goes beyond our actions, because the word he uses is talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Which ties directly to our vision, to have meaningful conversations. Right. And so think about the conversations in your home.
Yeah.
You know, what, Lisa, you know, you talked about, is it just functional, like who's taking who to soccer and all that? And maybe is it about sports? Is it about the TV show you're watching, which could be a great conversation when you talk about characters? But is it somewhat mindless? Are you having any conversations about things that matter? And you can use TV or sports or ordinary life to then talk about values and the Lord in the midst of daily life.
I mean, that's what Jesus did, right?
Right.
He was walking by, saw a fig tree, and then
there
a parable was born. Yeah.
And I love the way that, you know, in just watching some of the Chosen episodes, but, you know, reading in the Bible, how he asked questions.
Yes.
I love asking questions and then listening well. I mean, that speaks volumes also.
Yeah, that's one thing I've learned a lot. I think when I was a younger Christian, I thought I needed to tell people stuff all the time. And you do. There's part of that.
Sure.
But I found that people really don't necessarily remember what you tell them, but they sure remember if you make them feel known and loved.
Amen.
Going back to what Lori said at the beginning. And so really listening to people, finding out what they care about, really inviting them, being the kind of person who's thoughtful and gentle and caring, that invites people to open up and to share what really is on their heart. That's powerful, because that's where we can reach them in their addictions, in their loneliness, in their anxiety, with the love of Jesus.
And frankly, thinking about bringing the vision home, it's to do that with your spouse.
Yes.
I talk to so many husbands and wives who aren't doing that. They're not asking the questions about, how are you doing? How are you really feeling? What's going on inside you? And I was with a wife last week, and I started saying, well, do y'all have meals together? Not really. Well, do y'all go on walks? No. Do you watch TV together? No. Have you been on a vacation together? Well, we went with all of our kids 3 years ago. And I was just struck with, there's some functional communication they have about.
Yeah, sure.
The bank account, the insurance, the whatever.
The business of life.
But really, they were not having, if I use the word meaningful, maybe any meaningful conversations about how are you doing, how are you feeling about what's coming up in your life or my life.
And that affects the whole family.
Mm-hmm. It does.
You know, whether you children or anybody else. So, yeah, it's...
Yeah.
And this was somebody who doesn't even live in this area, by the way.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we're not talking about any of you, we promise.
No.
but it's an all too common story. And you hear about these things, and it's heartbreaking to know how many marriages are in trouble and how many kids are in crisis.
And sometimes with your kids, you're just trying to make them behave and keep them out of trouble, keep them safe, do your homework, clean your room, but to go deeper than that,
yeah,
and really listen to your child's heart, ask them what's really going on in their heart and mind and soul, and take time to listen.
Be available, because yeah, they will want to talk to you, especially as they get older. They will pick the most inconvenient time for you, and not on purpose, but like, you know, they'll wander in at 10:30 at night and you're like trying to go to sleep, and they're all of a sudden they plop on your bed and want to have an hour-long conversation. But I'm like, I'm there for it.
Yeah.
Whenever they want to talk to me.
Me too.
When they call me.
I might be exhausted. It doesn't matter.
Yep. Yep. When my kids call me in the middle of the day, I pick up the phone because they may have something that I need to hear about, and I want to be there for them. So yeah, these are all things that I think are not earth-shattering, revolutionary things, but somehow we've kind of lost them. Yes. As a culture. Our culture has lost some of these very fundamental things about what it means to be human, to be in community, to, you know, God said it wasn't good for the man to be alone. So we need each other. Or we do become addicted and lonely and anxious and depressed and all the other things. Okay, well, I think this is going to be a really great series, because we're going to spend about, 6 weeks focused on this idea. But it's really an annual focus. It's our yearly focus, but this is kind of kicking it off. This is introducing it. This is sort of hoping that we all as a church get on the same page as we seek to help one another. Because some of this is hard, and I know people out there are having problems that are just beyond, they don't know what to do. Like you were saying, Bruce, they're just tearing their hair out. I'm so worried about my kids or my marriage or what's going on with my family, that we really want to help bear each other's burdens and all
and
this.
And we want our homes to be places of, as you said, peace and joy that can be a bright light to their neighbors.
Yeah.
But it's hard for us to reach out to the other homes in our community until we've addressed our own home.
Yeah.
And then we don't want to stop there. This is not an internally focused vision. We're thinking about the homes of our community.
Yeah.
And what's going on in the homes as you drive through neighborhoods.
Yeah. And ultimately, the bottom line is Jesus offers hope. So yes, whatever you're struggling with, you're never without hope, because Jesus lives.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is here. And
he lives in us.
And
he's given us a sphere of influence to impact. For his glory.
Yeah. So it doesn't, it's not all on us. It's the Holy Spirit's right. responsibility, but we sure can be vehicles for that.
Yeah.
We can be tools in his hand. So that's what we want to do as a church. There is another way though, that we're going to kick off this focus, and Lori's really excited about it.
Yes, I am. Is this, are we talking Rise?
Yes, this is your turn. This is the moment.
This is it. Yes. I'm really excited about Rise. Now this will be our third year of Rise?
Yeah.
Third year of Rise. And we have some great speakers coming in, both in English and in Spanish.
So
and
Rise is a conference.
I'm sorry. Yes. Rise is a conference. And it is a morning and then finishing up with a lunch. But it's for the whole family.
Yes.
So we want, this is a family event where kids will have their program as well, mm-hmm, focusing on bringing the vision home. And the adults will have it as well. And we'll learn some practical tools on how to engage with people. Maybe that might even be of a different personality than you. I'm sure, you know, we'd have different personalities in our families. Mm-hmm. But also then how to bless people, how to bless one another through our conversations. Dr. John Trent will be speaking in our English, and he he's the president of a company called Strong Families. Mm-hmm. All about building stronger relationships, and he's been doing this for a number of years, and really looking forward to having him here. And then Dr. Danny Huerta will be speaking in Spanish, and he is the vice president with Focus on the Family. So we have two quality speakers, not to mention our own speakers and pastors, Bruce and Jaime.
Yes.
Who will be kicking us off. Some incredible worship. And then some practical next steps of our ministry team has been working on some programs that will help us take our next steps, whether it's marriage or parenting or struggles, things that you're struggling with personally. So it's going to be an exciting, this is going to kick off our fall ministry year.
Yeah, I'm excited. If you haven't been the last 2 years, Rise has always been a really incredible event, really well put together, always very thoughtfully Lori and her team spend a lot of time really being very thoughtful about the content and then also the logistics. It's just, it's well run.
And it's free. And it's free. I mean,
and you get lunch.
Yes, because we want to bless people. We really do. God just put this on our heart.
Yeah.
Our vision, our elders are so supportive of our vision. And I'm just blessed to be able to serve in this capacity. But God has put us on our hearts, the heart of our church. Mm-hmm. And even if we want to share it with our friends or family, the people that we know, it's going to help everyone. It's going to bless the people who attend.
So yeah, you will leave with some practical things you can do right away, and you will leave with a roadmap to how you can continue to grow in the coming few months with things that we're going to offer here at the church and online and resources and all kinds of things. Because our heart is not just to put this out there and say, you know, you guys figure out how to do it. We're like, we want to help people. We want to equip people. We want to share the love of Christ in very tangible ways with people to really improve their relationships
right
at home. So when is Rise?
Rise is August 12th.
And how does someone register?
You can go online to our website.
Yeah, it's right there on the front page.
Yeah, just click on the link, Rise.
CFHome.org.
CFHome.org.
Yeah, and it's right register, there on the front.
We do need to know how many, you know, so if we can prepare and be good stewards.
We're going to have lunch. Did I mention we're having lunch?
Yes, we are. It's going to be delicious.
And the lunchtime is a great time to just connect with other people.
That's right.
I mean, it's an all-church thing.
Yes.
So it's fun because you sometimes run into people. If you go to different services, you may run into someone you haven't seen in a while.
That's right.
So it's great. Yeah. Okay. Well, Bruce and Lori, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. Lori, would you mind praying for our listeners?
I'd be happy to. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for our vision. Thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you for the mission and vision that you've given us. And I pray for everyone listening today, Lord. I pray for their homes. I pray for their families. I pray for the people that are in the homes with them, Lord. And I just pray that you will help them strengthen their relationships, Father. Help them heal from hurts and pains. Lord, we know there's so much out there that people need help. So I thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die for our sins. I thank you for the ministry that you've given each one of us, Father. And I just pray that you help us faithfully follow you and live out the mission and the vision that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everybody, we will see you back next week.